Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and happy Easter. Welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you've tuned in to the program today. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. I've been pastoring there for 28 years. And one of the things that I love to do is show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. This morning is Easter. It's a time when we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. It's the most important day on the Christian calendar. And I want to especially welcome you to this morning's program. And a welcome to those who are making their way to Parliament Hill right now to join in on the Easter sunrise service. Looks like it's going to be a good one. I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time. I know others of you think of yourselves as spiritual, but you're not really sure about this Christian thing. And I know others of you who are just curious about how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that you'll find this program interesting, informative, and helpful. And I believe that for those of you who desire it, that God can use a program like this to take you one step closer to Him. This morning, I want to talk about ways in which people believe in Jesus. I want to do that because what you believe about Jesus is the most important thing about you. It will define your life. If you believe in Jesus and follow after Him, your life will take one trajectory. If you don't, it'll take another trajectory. One of the things that I love to hear is people's stories of how they came to know Jesus. There's a movie based on a book that just came out. It's the story of Lee Strobel. And he and his wife came to faith. His wife came to faith first, but faith made no sense to him. He was an investigative journalist who decided to investigate the claims of Jesus. And after a long, long investigation, spoiler alert, he put his faith in Jesus. There are other testimonies, like a friend of mine. He had so many coincidences happen in his life that got him to a certain place, and then he heard the good news about Jesus. And there's something just so compelling that he hardly knew why, but he took that step of faith and gave his life to Jesus. Then there are other testimonies where people hit rock bottom. They really hit bottom. And they cry out for God to show Himself, and He does. That becomes the beginning of faith, and they believe in Jesus, and they give their lives to Jesus. Then there are people like me who were raised in a Christian home, and it was the most natural thing in the world to give my life to Jesus at an early age. For people like me, initial belief is easy. Walking out our faith continues to be a choice to believe. I don't know where you're at in your faith, and I don't know where your journey has taken you this far, but this is what I do know, that Jesus wants to show Himself to you. I know that He wants you to know Him well. I know that He wants you to put your faith in Him. So I want to talk about what that means. What I want to talk about faith, and now faith isn't a mental assent to a given set of theological claims. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, check. Jesus died for my sins, check. Jesus rose from the dead, check. Jesus loves me, check. Those beliefs are important. But the real question is, do you believe in Jesus enough to allow him to make changes in your life? Do you believe in Jesus enough to give him your life, to make him the captain of your life? This morning, we're going to look at the Easter story from John chapter 20. And you're going to see a number of different characters in the story, and you're going to see how different people came to believe. And the way those people came to believe changed the world. This belief changed the way they lived. It changed the way they shared their lives with others. And it, in fact, did change the world. Now, if you are an astute human being, you will know that words have consequences. If you are an authentic human being, then you will know that your words will reflect your beliefs. So think about this for a moment. Pretend you don't know the story of Easter. What do you think is the likely outcome if a guy who was sentenced as a criminal, who was severely beaten, and then he was crucified, and then after death he was stabbed with a spear in his side, if someone went around and started saying, "He's alive! He's alive! He's been raised from the dead!" What do you think the consequence of that belief and those words are going to do? Well, you know that people who are in power sentence him to death, and they are going to be threatened, and they're going to come after you. You know that normal people are going to think that you are crazy, kind of on the level of alien abduction, because, well, dead is dead. The kind of belief, this kind of belief was going to cost them something. It wasn't just mental assent. It was a life-changing faith. It was a faith that would change the destination of their life. Not to mention, if Jesus was raised from the dead, then everything that I thought I knew about life, about death, about God, about religion, well, that has just been turned on its ears. This belief would cost them something. True faith often does, because they came to faith, but they came to faith anyways because it was true. They encountered the risen Lord. So let me take you to the story. It's found in John chapter 20, and I'm going to start to read at verse 1. It says this: "Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, 'They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him.' Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He stopped, and he looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first went in and saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home." We will come to Mary Magdalene in a moment, but let's take a look at Peter and John first. John, by the way, is the one who is writing the book, and he never refers to himself by name, so he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm not sure what that says about John, but that's a rabbit trail I'm not going to go down. Peter and John hear from Mary that the tomb is empty. So they have a foot race to the tomb. Now, John wins, but he is somewhat timid, and he stands huffing and puffing outside the tomb. Peter figures, well, if I'm going to huff and puff, I might as well huff and puff inside the tomb, so he barges right in. Now, he noticed the linen wrapping lying there, and the cloth that covered Jesus' face folded up. For you men and women who fold laundry, you are being like Jesus, but that's another rabbit trail. See, the Bible doesn't really say anything about Peter's faith, but here's what it says about John's faith in verse 8. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, he still hadn't understood the scriptures that said, Jesus must rise from the dead. Well, John looked around and he saw Jesus' burial wrappings and there was no longer any Jesus in the tomb. He put that together with what Jesus had said about rising from the dead. He put that together with what it says in the scriptures. And the Bible says he saw and he believed. He hadn't seen the resurrection Lord, but he believed. His leap of faith was going from evidence to believing that Jesus is risen. That is how some of you came to faith. That is how many people do come to faith. You put the pieces together and you believe. There are people who see the evidence, like John, and they can take the evidence and put it together, and faith can happen. If you are a person who needs evidence, research it. Be a least trouble. Take a look at what it would mean to believe in Jesus rising from the dead. It makes sense. Book that I would recommend to you is Lee Strobel's book on Christ. Now, some of you have seen the evidence, but you're kind of like Peter, and you see it, but you don't really get it. You see, Peter's last experience with Jesus was denying him three times. He was saying, you know, when Jesus, when he was asked if he was a follower of Jesus, yeah, no, I don't know the guy. Never knew the guy. What are you doing? He swore and he laughed. And if Jesus is risen from the dead, then Peter's thinking, I've got some explaining to do. If I ran into Jesus after saying I would never deny him and then I ended up denying him three times, well, awkward. And I found over the years that there are often one issue that keeps people from making a leap of faith. You know, what are people going to think? What is my girlfriend going to think, or my parent going to think, or my friend going to think of me? And if making a leap of faith, I can imagine awkward moments, and I'm not sure I want to deal with the awkward moments. The evidence is in front of me. I see it, but I think I'll just pretend that it isn't there. If that is you, I want you to know this, that knowing Jesus is worth more than any awkward moments. I would urge you to see Jesus and believe. Now, I'm sure Peter was feeling guilt. You know, he said, I'm not going to deny the Lord. I'm not going to deny the Lord. And he ends up denying the Lord. And he's thinking, if I run into Jesus, you know, I've got this guilt. I did what was wrong. He knew it. I knew it. And, man, I don't know what it's going to be like to experience Jesus with this guilt in my heart. I wonder if Jesus will accept me. After all, it was him that I denied. It was him that I insulted. It was him that I turned my back on. And he thinks, if Jesus is risen from the dead, what's that going to mean? Is Jesus going to turn his back on me now? Is he going to walk away from me like I walked away from him? Well, I want you to know that Jesus isn't like that. I don't care what you've done. You may have denied the Lord. You may have done a lot of wrong things. But we know from the story that Jesus came to Peter with open arms. He called him back and into a relationship with himself. He called him into walking with him again. And I want you to know that there's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you've done that can keep Jesus from you. You may feel awkward about coming to him, but he is not awkward about coming to you. He wants you. He wants you to put your faith in him. He wants to have a relationship with you. Well, this is Easter Sunday, and I thought it would be great to hear the Easter song from the second chapter of Acts. He is risen. Let's go to Mary Magdalene. Now, she found the empty tomb. When Jesus was crucified, the bottom dropped out of Mary's world. Now, if you look here at history, she had led a pretty messed up life. And Jesus saved her from that life. Jesus was her hero. She didn't know a whole lot other than that she loved Jesus, and now Jesus was dead. If you've ever been around people, if you've been around people long enough, then you'll know that some people are more emotive than others. Some people feel emotional pain deeper than others. Mary felt the pain of Jesus' loss in an excruciating way. And here's what John chapter 20, verse 11 says. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stopped and she looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other sitting at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Well, because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, and I don't know where they put him." You know, I often think that those who hurt the deepest are sent angels more regularly. But Mary is so far gone, she can't even recognize the angels for what they are. John believed because he saw the linen. Mary talks to an angel, and it's so Jesus is dead. I don't want to talk to anyone now. So this is what verse 14 says. She turned to leave. This is the only time that I can think of where someone cuts a conversation with an angel short and turns their back on him. She's polite enough to answer their question, but she just turns to leave. Verse 14, she turns to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought, well, he was the gardener. "So, sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which means in Hebrew, teacher. Now, Mary got to her very lowest point. She was traumatized by Jesus' death. Everything that she had based her life on, her hero was death. And then she encountered Jesus. She encountered him. I've watched over the years where people get to their lowest point too, and it's often at their lowest point where they find Jesus. Watch people in grief, where people are feeling the pain of loss so deeply. And in the middle of their grief and loss, like Mary, they encounter Jesus. And they find that he gives them hope and strength to carry on. It doesn't make the loss easy. It doesn't mean that it all goes away. But they understand that they have a friend who will walk with them through the grief and the loss. And I've watched as people have found peace in the middle of sorrow, where they've found hope in the middle of darkness, because they've come to trust in Jesus in the middle of their grief. I've watched people get to their lowest with addiction, where they've been addicted to substances that just have run away with their life. And they've lost friends, and they've lost family, and they've lost houses, and their life has bottomed out. And they get to their lowest point, and they're wondering if there's any hope for them. They're wondering if anybody does care. And oftentimes it's at that lowest point where they'll reach out to Jesus and they'll find that Jesus is in fact there. Now, it's still a struggle with addiction. It's still a struggle, and every day they have to deny what they want and walk forward. But they find that Jesus is there, that he helps them. And at their lowest point, they come to find Jesus and they find that he helps them walk into their life. And I've seen people walk out of some pretty desperate situations and walk into a newness of life, first in their heart and then in the circumstances around them, because they've chosen to follow Jesus. Some people are really traumatized by hurt that they're involved in. Sometimes it's physical hurt, like in a car accident. Sometimes it's different traumas that happen in life. And they get to a low point too. And at that low point, they find Jesus. And they find that Jesus is able to help them walk through the hurt. If you are in one of those low points today, I want to invite you, like Mary, to learn to Jesus, learn to look to Jesus. You know, you may not recognize him at first, but I want you to know he's there. He wants you to know him. So he wants you to find who he is. He wants you to come after him. So we have John. John sees the evidence, and he puts his faith in Jesus. Peter, who is awkward, he says, I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I encounter Jesus. And he feels guilty. I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I encounter Jesus. He puts his faith in Jesus. Mary hits a low point. She is just feeling the grief so keenly. But in the middle of her low point, she puts her faith in Jesus. Now let's go on. John chapter 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. So we go to the disciples, the rest of the disciples that didn't run to the tomb when they heard the message that it was empty. And I wonder what they were thinking. Well, verse 19 gives us a little bit of a clue. It says this, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the leaders who put Jesus to death. Their Lord had risen from the dead. And are they overjoyed? No. They have heard the evidence. They have heard the testimony of John, who saw the evidence, and he said, I believe. And they heard the evidence of Peter, I saw the empty tomb. And they've heard the evidence of Mary, I've seen the Lord. But other people's faith were not their faith. They hadn't encountered Jesus yet. In fact, what was happening is that they were hiding and they were in fear. They just didn't believe. You see, fear has one of those ways of coming to us and squelching faith. It's like, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen. I'm anxious about the future. I don't know what's going to happen. And you're asking me to believe the impossible? What's up with that? Like, I mean, come on, we've got to have a strategy here to deal with what's going on around us. And they were really afraid. Now, they didn't believe. You know, you've been told about Jesus, but you didn't believe. I wonder if some of you are in that place, where you've heard the evidence about Jesus, you've talked about Jesus, you've had other people explain the difference that Jesus has made in their lives, but you just don't see it. You're afraid. You're afraid of your circumstances going on around you. You're afraid of what's going on in life, and you're afraid to put your faith in something so fantastic. Well, Jesus has compassion on the disciples, and I want you to know that he loves you too. This is what it says in John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with locked doors for fear of the leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it takes an encounter with the Lord himself. You've been hearing about the Lord. You've heard testimonies about the Lord. You've heard some of your friends talk about Jesus. But there's been a fear in you. And yet, Jesus shows up in the middle of the room. And he says, hey, I'm here. I want you to know me. I've watched, not as Jesus shows up physically in the middle of the room, but as people are thinking about Jesus, that they get to know, it's just things happen in their lives where they know that Jesus is close by. if you are in that place where you've heard about Jesus but you're doubting, I want to urge you to say, Jesus, I'm willing to believe you if you'll show yourself to me. I'm willing to put my faith in you if you'll come and reveal who you are to me. And then start to watch. Watch what he will do. Jesus will start showing up. You'll start seeing where he's active in your life. The Bible says, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you seek me with your whole heart. And for people who genuinely want to know about Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus is there. He cares. But sometimes there is a whole lot of doubt going on. Thomas was one of those people who doubted. And Jesus said to him, you know, I want you to know that this is about you can put your hands in my your hands in my side, and Thomas believed. Maybe you're a doubting Thomas, but I want you to know that he wants you, and he will reveal himself to you if you're open to that. This morning, you know, we talked about John, Peter, Mary, the disciples, even Thomas. Wherever you are, I want you to know that Jesus is near. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that wherever people are, that they would put their faith in you. I ask, Lord, that you would help them to know you. Lord, open and reveal yourself to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.